Welcome to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. This is your host, Johan Tayeb. My goal is to help you get the most out of reskilling apps. Whether you're already a full-time entrepreneur or trying to get a business going, this podcast is for you. We will be interviewing professionals that are already doing app reskilling for a living. We will also invite source code sellers to get to learn about what they have to offer. And finally, we will talk to industry experts to learn how to become more productive at flipping apps. And now, without further ado, let's get started. Okay, so today I have an amazing guest. His name is Oliver Saylor, and Oliver does mobile app reskinning. So, hello Oliver, and welcome.
Hi, Johan, and thanks a lot for having me here. Glad to be able to share a lot of information with everyone.
Excellent, excellent. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you came to be in this mobile app flipping industry.
Okay, cool. I'm a 25-year-old guy living in Copenhagen in Denmark.
Okay.
And about 6 months ago, I got my bachelor degree in information management.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So that's a program focusing on communication and technology and, you know, how to manage that in organizations.
Okay.
And then the summer of 2012, I got into apps. I found this ebook online on, you know, how to create apps with no programming skills. Which sounded like exactly something for me, because I think I had the iPod Touch at the time, and I always just had a blast, you know, getting new apps on it and stuff like that.
Okay. So, question: do you remember what is the name of this ebook?
No, unfortunately not. I can try and dig into it though.
Okay. If you could, then let me know anytime, and I'll put it in the show notes at appfresh.us.
Definitely. Okay. I'll be able to find out after the interview and shared with you.
Perfect.
So get it, because it was pretty good, of informative and very, I think, a good place to start.
Excellent.
So basically, I just, you know, jumped right into it after reading this ebook. I didn't really know much about what I was doing though, so I didn't do very much research on apps like I do today. So I just, you know, I just tried to find something that I thought would be fun to create and went for that. But it turned out everything kind of sucked. The programmer kept delaying and progress was just very slow. But then in the spring of 2012, I found this really good systematic approach to running a net business. And this was through a book by a guy named Chad Moretta.
Oh, yeah. The App Empire, right?
Yes, sir. The App Empire book. That taught me a lot of things. And it actually, what I learned from that book kind of became the foundation for, you know, how I run my app business and how I like to work with apps. So, that's kind of my story of how I got into apps.
Okay, so I've checked some of your apps and games that you have on iTunes, and I've seen that you have a lot of them already. Now, do you know exactly or about how many apps and games you got that you have reskinned?
I have, I think I have 18 apps out in total, and all of those apps have a free version and a paid version, where the paid version doesn't have any ads in it.
Okay.
Because I always like to, you know, it's a good way to maximize your investment because you get double the apps. So pretty much $0. So, and then I actually like to, every once in a while, make the paid app, make that app free. Because all these websites online, they will track apps when they have price drops.
Mm-hmm. They have like robots that are waiting for this to trigger an event, and it alerts people to say that you know there was a price drop. Absolutely, that drives extra downloads. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I have a friend. I haven't had any huge success with this price drop method yet, But I have a friend who just told me yesterday, actually, that he had an app which got like, I think it was about 100 or 200 downloads a day. Mm-hmm. Then he made it paid, and then he made it free again after a while, and then it just spiked up to 80,000 downloads in a few
Whoa.
Days.
80,000 downloads, that's amazing. Yeah, definitely. That probably boosted him, you know, in like the top 50 of games, right? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, question, why do you do a free and a paid app and not like what everybody is talking about lately, which is the hot freemium trend, you know, in the sense that you just create one free app and then you do in-app purchases inside?
No, because I actually, my free apps serve as the freemium app. The two apps are pretty much identical, the paid and the free version. They both have the same in-app purchases. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that I disable the all the ads in the paid version.
Okay, yes, I get it. So that's very interesting because that never crossed my mind in the sense that I personally usually only do freemium model. I never think about, say, oh, you know, since I already have all the resources, let's put it in the paid apps. Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because, it's like you get an extra app for free, so let's double the exposure.
Absolutely, yep. I'm going to have to steal your idea, I'm telling you.
Go ahead. Everyone listening, go ahead. Because even if you don't get the success from making it from paid to free, then you just get, you know, a few extra paid downloads, which is not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Any extra money always helps. Definitely.
Thank you.
So do you mind sharing some download numbers across all your apps and games?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I'm actually, at the moment, I'm working in my second company. My first company, I ran that with a good friend of mine for about a year.
Okay.
And we have 880,000 downloads in a year.
Wow, you guys were getting close to almost a million. Excellent.
Yeah, I have a million combined. My new company has been running for 1.5 months, and I have 146,000 in that.
Wow, you rock. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And, I'd like to focus on one of your games that you've been reskinning. Cause I looked at what you have. You have lots of racer games as well, and one that's based on the a skater type of game, right?
Yeah.
Which one would you like to focus on the one that was not too hard to reskin and that brought you some decent profit?
Yeah, I think something good to talk about would be a game called Vector Ninja Dash.
Okay.
It was a really simple game, and it was quite low cost as well.
Okay, so tell me about the game. So it's a runner, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly. We got the idea from, because every time we wanted to make a new app, we mm-hmm. would go to the App Store and do some research to see, you know, how everything is going in there and what's currently trending and so on, to get an idea of what people actually wanted. So we found this game called Vector, which was a very popular running game, mm-hmm. Infinite Runner. And we just decided to go with their theme, but add ninjas in our game.
Oh, question now. How do you do your research about what's trending and what's not? I personally look in the top 200 in games or in apps or in a certain category. Is there anything you do differently from me?
No, not really. I like to go into the App Store either on my Mac or on my iPhone, especially on my iPhone actually, and just browse through the different top charts, like overall top charts and game top charts and so on.
Okay, glad to hear we have a similar tactic.
Yeah, just I think the more frequent you do it, the better grasp you will get on everything. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, question. Okay, so when you guys had this idea to go with a Vector Ninja Runner, what was the next step you guys undertook? Because I believe it was you and your friend, right? You guys were working together on it, right?
Exactly. We were doing all the research and, you know, the guidance of like what features did we want and how should it look and everything. But none of us knew how to design or how to program. So that's one thing I learned from the book by Chad Morello, is to outsource the things that you're not great at doing. So we outsourced programming and we outsourced designing. We used Odesk to find our people.
Okay.
And basically we just made, you know, a really descriptive document for the designer and one for the programmer of how we wanted everything to look and play. And then we just, you know, tell them to get started and work out a budget and stuff like that.
Okay, now was there any low moment in the process of creating the game, in the sense that working with the programmer and the graphic designer, how long did it take, and was there any hiccups?
Hiccups occur really often, I think, but it depends on who you work with. The guys I had on this particular project were pretty good, so it actually, I think we finished it in almost about a week, actually. It was pretty quick.
Whoa, yeah, surprising.
And it was, I think we paid like $350 for it in total, so it was a super cheap project.
So you're saying you got the whole game finished, the programming and the graphics, in less than a week, in about a week?
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
Just to clarify, the code we used, we found that on a website. So we bought the code and then we sent it over to the programmer and had him, you know, add the graphics and the...
Oh, okay, I see. So you guys did not do a whole game from scratch. You actually gave a source code and basically the programmer had to tweak it to be able to make it your own. Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly. It was a reskin.
Oh, okay. Do you remember what was the original source code by any chance?
I think it was called Cave Runner.
Cave Runner? Okay.
Yeah, it was super cheap. It was like $16 or something.
Whoa! Where did you find such a deal? Come on, give out your secret.
Maybe it was on sellmyapplication.com, but I'm not certain. I can look into that afterwards.
Okay, I'll add it to the show notes. No problem.
I'll share some of the websites I use for buying source code.
Okay, excellent. Now, let's talk about the number of images. Do you know how much effort you had to reskin graphic-wise?
In this project, we had 450 images.
450?
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a lot.
I'm surprised that you only paid that little money, less than $500, for 450 images to redraw. Whoa.
Yeah, the vast majority of those were because there was a lot of animation in the game. So you have the guy running really smoothly. That just requires a lot of images.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. But to me, I just want to work out a good deal with my designer, but how complicated it is, that's almost invisible work to me because he's sitting with that, so that's his responsibility.
Yeah, I see. Especially when you have to deal with animations, there are some extra softwares that are involved, such as, you know, you have to pack texture files inside of, you know, like compress all animations in one file and things like that, and that can become a pain.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the audio? Did you change the audio or you just reused whatever was already in the source code?
Sorry?
The audio files, you know, all the sound effects.
Yeah. We had, there were 13 MP3s in the code.
Okay.
And, it's pretty easy to replace those, luckily. That's one of the things I always do myself when my programmer sends me the final code back. I just go in there and replace the audio files. You can use sites like audiojungle.com. They have a bunch of cool stuff in there.
Okay, so, Audio Jungle.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good site.
All right. Now, let's talk about extra features that came with the game. Did you have to deal with anything like in-app purchases, game centers, or any network, anything like that?
There were no in-app purchases in this code because it was so simple. Okay. So I think we considered adding one ourselves for just a simple one for removing ads. Mm-hmm. But we never did, but you could easily do that though.
Okay, was there any game center involved with that as well?
No, not in this one either. It was pretty, like, there was almost nothing in this code. We did add a few things for, we use Epoxy for push notifications, and we use RevMod and ChartBoost for ad networks. So that's basically what we added.
Oh, okay. Now, question. Yes. Would you reuse this source code again, or have you reused it again?
I'm not sure, really. We used it. We actually used it one time prior to this game. Okay. On a game called Slender Man Escaping, because we wanted to do the Slender Man theme. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a 150% return on investment on that. But it was a very cheap game, so it's not like any fancy profit. So I think I would deem this code to be a little too simple right now, because I'm looking to scale up my business, and part of that is, you know, finding some slightly bigger game codes to work with.
Okay, when you mean bigger game, are you planning on going to 3D games type of thing?
I'm working on one game in Unity 3D.
Okay.
But it's my first 3D game, and it's still, you know, in the simple end of the scale. So I'm not going into AAA titles or anything like that at the moment, because even though I want to scale up a bit, I still want to do relatively low cost projects.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Step by step. Now you're already moving to 3D. You're gonna test the waters, and depending on how it does, you're just gonna keep moving up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about those projects. Where do you see yourself in 6 months from now?
My biggest challenge at the moment is, you know, really putting together a super good team of designers and programmers. Because, like I said, I'm in this process of scaling up my business, so I want to do more projects at once, and I also want to do, you know, bigger games. So in 6 months from now, I should be able to more consistently put out, you know, good apps.
Okay. Now you were saying that you're trying to hire more people to scale up. How are you planning on doing this? Because I know you said earlier that you started with freelancers. Are you still going that way, or you're going to try to have some full-time people that work for you?
No, I still only pay per project, because, I don't know, so far for me, it just makes more sense for me to not pay monthly, but to pay per project. It just, especially when I have, because I think I'm working with like 15 people now, so that would be a lot of salaries to pay.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you must have lots of issues with dealing with so many freelancers, in the sense that sometimes they're not going to output the quality that you wanted, and maybe maybe someone's not going to be available whenever you thought he or she would be. Can you let us know some of the problems you had to deal with?
Well, it's pretty time consuming to begin with, because all of a sudden I used to work with a maximum of 4 people at the time, I think, but now I have people on Skype all the time texting me. So you have to, you know, focus a lot on your business all the time. And you also, if you go out to Autodesk and you hire like 5 or 10 new people, even though you think you've screened them well and you've interviewed them and all of that, you will likely still end up with at least a few people that just aren't working out for you. So it's a long process of, and it's an ongoing process of finding people, testing them if they're good enough or not, and if they aren't, you unfortunately have to tell them that it's just not working out, and you'll go on and keep looking for a new one until you have this great core of people to work with.
Okay. All right, so but how do you do to handle so many people? Do you use any type of software or anything that helps you remember where you're, you know, what's your status with every single one of them?
I just use Skype for communication.
Okay.
And I use my Reminders app a lot on my iPhone just to type in, like, every time if one of my designers tell me, can we add this and this image in the code or not, I'll make a reminder mm-hmm. in my app. So I'll remember to ask my programmer if we can do that or not. That's two tools I use a lot. I don't use Basecamp or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's been an amazing insight into flipping apps. Thank you very much. And how do we get in touch with you?
You can find me on Facebook under my private name, Oliver Saylor.
Okay.
And on Twitter under the same name. Or you can check out my apps on the App Store, which is currently also under Oliver Saylor. But I'm looking to enroll into a company program soon. So you'll be able to find me on the App3 Studios, which is my company.
Okay, well, thanks for everything. And I believe you have a little freebie for our audience. So go ahead.
I have a small bonus, because I think one of the big importances in doing apps is actually your marketing of the app. Like, how great is your icon and how great is your screenshots?
Yes, you're absolutely right. In the iPhone industry, it's all about cosmetics. So definitely, like you're saying, icons and screenshots are like one of the top priorities. Yes, go ahead.
So what I'll share today is a bunch of images of the iPhone 5 that I always like to add in Photoshop when I create screenshots for my apps. So basically, you'll get a bunch of images of the iPhone 5, super high resolution, from different angles, so you'll be able to tweak it exactly how you want it.
Okay, well, thanks for everything. I'll make sure to put this on appfresh.us under your podcast, okay?
You got it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, it was my pleasure, and thanks for all those great insights. Keep in touch, and good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks for listening to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. If you find this podcast interesting, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. And sharing is caring, so spread the word. You can also follow me on Twitter at Johann305. That's YOHANN305. Also, come to appfresh.us. Appfresh.us. You'll find all the episodes, the show notes, and resources to make you more productive. See you at the next episode.